If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4 is where we'll be looking this morning. Genesis 4, I'm sure this is a familiar story from the book of Genesis, but we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 16. We're not going to be preaching on all of those verses, but I want us to get the whole story to begin with. So Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God and for another opportunity to look into it this morning. I pray that you'd guide us and direct us into the truth and help us to learn important things about you and our relationship with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the things that we often talk about is how people are different from each other. In fact, much of our conversation has to do with those differences. There are, of course, height differences and size differences, and there are other physical differences like color of hair and color of eyes. And there are ethnic and racial differences. And there are different ideas. People come from different backgrounds. They have different ways of doing things. There are cultural differences. There are gender differences. There are political differences. There's financial and social differences, and people just have different preferences and likes. For instance, in my family this week, my daughter was home from Michigan for a few days, and on the day before she left, we had us a big feed of steamed clams, and everybody in my family loves them except one person. And she sat at the table and ate her little salad. And every time we pulled out one of those clams, she nearly gagged to death. Now, I'm not going to tell you which daughter that was, because my kids don't like me to name names from the pulpit. It embarrasses them. So I'm not going to tell you which daughter that was. But she would nearly gag. So people have differences, right? All kinds of differences. And I've just named a few this morning. And in this passage that we just read, I want to show you the difference between two brothers. Now, let me say at the beginning that it's easy to get sidetracked in this story of these two brothers. Because although this story contains a murder, it is not a story about murder. You see, I've never murdered anyone, and I suspect that you haven't either. So if we only view this as a story about a murder, then this story doesn't have any application to you or to I. And we might as well just close up and go home now. But this is not just a story about murder. This story is about God and us and how we can please Him. Now, as we consider the story, the first and most obvious thing we see is two different people. Two different people. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, when Cain was born, it was an exciting event. He was the first baby to ever be born. This was truly a historical moment. Now, if you notice, look at the last phrase of verse 1, where Eve says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, Eve said something very confusing there about the birth of Cain. When Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, some think she thought that this was the promised seed of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where you have the first mention of a coming Redeemer. In Genesis 3:15, it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. No, thou shalt bruise his heel, and it shall bruise thy head, I believe is the way the passage goes. If you happen to be studying any theology books, and you come across a Latin phrase that says the proto-evangelium, that's just a fancy Latin word that means Genesis 3:15, the first mention of the coming Redeemer. Proto means first, evangelium means gospel. And so I went all the way through my first year of Bible college, had a professor who kept mentioning the proto-evangelium. I had no idea what he was talking about. I finally looked it up and realized it's just a fancy word for Genesis 3:15, which is the first reference to a coming Redeemer. Now remember, Eve and Adam had been driven out of the garden due to sin. And some think, and I tend to agree with them, that she was actually thinking that Cain was the promised Redeemer that might make it possible for them to get back into the Garden of Eden. But she was dead wrong if she thought he was the promised Redeemer, because he proved not only to be a mere man, but to be a very bad man. She didn't have her theology straight. Because it is impossible for fallen man to bring forth a Redeemer. And this is why Christ was born of a virgin. In that Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 passage about the first reference of the coming Redeemer, it makes a reference to her seed. Which is a strange use of the term seed, because in other places in the Bible it talks about like the seed of Abraham or the seed of Isaac or the seed of Jacob. But there it says her seed. Why is that? It's because Jesus was born of the virgin. He did not come from the seed of sinful man. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the only reason he could be our Redeemer. You see, if he was conceived using the seed of sinful man, then he would have been a sinner just like you and I. He'd be no different than us, and he would not be able to be our Redeemer. Instead, he would have been in need of a Redeemer. So Christ was born of the Virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And that certainly doesn't describe Cain. It doesn't describe Cain. But let's lay aside that Eve may have thought Cain possibly was the promised redeemer, because that's only speculation. But the real fact is, she gave birth to Cain, and he was the first child to ever be born on this earth. Now, since then, billions and billions of children have been born. But we can't even imagine what this must have been like. These first parents were having the first child ever to be born. Can you imagine the excitement? The excitement of that Adam and Eve had, and the hopes that they had for Cain. These parents named their child, think about it, they named him Cain. You know what that what Cain means? His name means to acquire, to get, or to come into possession of. His English name, if we put it in English, his English name would be Got. G-O-T, Got. Which is interesting. Have you noticed that usually the first child born into a family always gets about anything he wants, right? Often firstborn children are spoiled, and that may have happened with Cain. They had high hopes for Cain and probably gave him everything he wanted. Now, evidently, they did not have the same high hopes for their son Abel. You know what Abel means? In Hebrew, it means vapor or nothingness. Nothingness. And so by the names given to these two brothers, we can tell that these parents had high hopes for Cain, but not so much for Abel. It's like, you know, in most modern families, the first child will get 1,000 pictures of himself before he's a year old. The second child comes along and not quite so much. And if a third or fourth child comes along, they're lucky to get any pictures taken at all. But aren't you glad that God often chooses the nothings of this world and uses them for his glory? The Apostle Paul has a whole statement on that subject. I want you to see that if you would turn to 1 Corinthians 1. Now keep a finger in Genesis 4 because we're coming right back. But look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for a moment. The Apostle Paul talks about this subject. If you go down to starting in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, things which are not, that is, things which are nothing, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, God often chooses the nothings of the world and uses them for his glory. And that's what he's going to do with Abel. With Abel. While they had hopes for Cain, their hopes were destroyed when Cain killed his brother. You know, it's totally amazing to me. Both sons had the same parents and were raised in the same home. But what a contrast between the two of them. From what the scriptures indicate, Abel was a godly man, whereas Cain appears to be the opposite. Cain makes us think of the two evil brothers that were very, very rich and attended the same church. And because they gave a lot of money to the church, their pastor allowed them to get away with a lot of things. But one day their pastor retired, and a new one was hired. And not only could the new pastor see right through the brother's deception, but he also preached the word of God, and the church membership grew in numbers. Well, a fundraising campaign was started to build a new, bigger building, when all of a sudden, one of those brothers died. And the remaining brother sought out the new pastor the day before the funeral and handed him a check for the amount needed to finish paying for the new building. But he said this. He said, "I have one condition." He said, "At the funeral, you must say that my brother was a saint." He said, "Do you understand? I want everyone to hear you say the words, 'He was a saint.'" Well, the pastor gave his word and deposited the check. And the next day at the funeral, the pastor did not hold back. He said about the deceased, "He was an evil man. He cheated on his wife. He abused his family. And he pulled some shady deals in his lifetime." And after going on like that for about 10 minutes, he finally concluded and said, "But compared to his brother, he was a saint." Well, Abel was a saint, right? But Cain was an ain't. That is, he wasn't a saint of God. And so we see two different people. Now, the second thing I want you to see is two different offerings. Look at verses 3 and 4 back in Genesis chapter 4. "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." When Cain brought his offering to the Lord, God rejected his offering. And the reason God rejected his offering was because he brought the wrong kind of offering. And rather than turning around and getting it right by bringing the correct offering, instead, he became angry with God because God would not accept him on his terms. But the truth is, we don't set the terms. God sets the terms. Look again at verse 3 there. "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Now, I don't know where he brought that offering, because during this time, they had no church, no temple to bring the offering to. So where did he bring the offering? I don't know. Some seem to think he possibly brought his offering to the gates of the Garden of Eden, where the cherubim stood to keep anyone from going into the Garden of Eden. I don't know. But I do know this: God totally rejected the offering. And why did he do that? Why did God reject his offering? It's because he brought the wrong kind of offering. You see, he brought a thanksgiving offering. A thanksgiving offering is an offering where a person gives thanks for God's blessings by bringing the fruit of the ground. And there's nothing wrong with bringing a thanksgiving offering. Later on, farmers would do this at the end of the season to show their gratitude to God. You can find that in Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 29. But notice God rejected this thanksgiving offering. Why? Because it was the wrong kind of offering to bring at this time. The offering he was supposed to bring was a sin offering. And a sin offering requires a sacrifice, a sacrifice. And apparently Cain purposely brought the wrong offering. Cain was wicked, and God rejected his offering because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, there is no cleansing, there's no salvation, there's no remission. You see, it's good that lost people are thankful to the Lord for his blessings. It's good that people attend church and sing and tithe and do things like that. But those things will not save a person. And Cain is a picture of that. But in contrast, God received Abel's offering. Why? Because it was a sin offering. The blood of Abel's sacrifice pictured the blood that Christ would one day shed when he would come and die on the cross for our sins. Cain's offering pictures someone coming to God on their own merits. And folks, we can never approach God on our own merits. Why? Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousness, says, are as filthy rags. The best that we have to offer God, when you take that and you compare it to his righteousness and his holiness, in comparison, our things are just like filthy rags. They don't even come close to measuring up to God's standard of perfection. We can never approach God on our own merits. The right way to approach God was with a sin offering that represented the blood that would one day be shed for us on Calvary. And, you know, we still see people like Cain today. We still see people today that are trying to approach God on their own merit. And I'm here to tell you that no matter how many good works you do, no matter how many times you're baptized, listen, you could be baptized over here in Pasco River so many times that every fish in the lake knows your name and birth date and social security number, and it still won't merit you any favor with God. No matter how many good works you do, no matter how many times you get baptized, no matter how many times you take communion, no matter how much you give, no matter what you do, you can't approach God without accepting the Lord's precious blood that was shed for us. Cain and Abel both offered up sacrifices, but Cain's sacrifice was rejected and Abel's sacrifice was received. Now in Hebrews 11:4, it explains this. It says this: by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's faith was in the blood, and Cain's faith was in himself and what he had done with his own two hands. That's why the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In other words, when Abel offered up that bleeding sacrifice, it was not a ritual. It was an act of faith in the God he trusted to eventually send his son to shed his blood for our salvation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 explains that. It says these Old Testament saints, these believers, all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. So when Abel offered up that bleeding sacrifice, it was an act of faith in the God he trusted to eventually send his son to shed his blood for our salvation. But for Cain, it was only a meaningless ritual. And the same is true for many people today. They come to church, sing and pray and listen to the word of God being taught and preached, but it's no more than a meaningless ritual to them. Because the thing that ties us to God is not our religious activities, not our church attendance, not our good works, but the thing that ties us to God is our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, on Calvary's cross. If we do not enter a worship service with faith in the shed blood of Christ on the cross, then we leave the same way we came. Empty. Empty. So we see two different people, two different offerings, and then finally this morning, I want you to see two different reactions. Two different reactions. When God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's offering, look how Cain reacted. In verse 5, notice the end of the verse, it says, "And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Cain had what I would refer to as Burger King religion. Burger King religion. Do you remember the old Burger King commercials that said, "Have it your way, have it your way," years from years ago? Well, that's what Cain wanted when it came to religion. He wanted it his way. And he was angry with God because God would not do it his way. And you know what I found? I found that people still get angry when God doesn't accept them on their terms. Many folks don't seem to know that God is watching how we conduct ourselves. Look there at verse 6 again. "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?" God was watching. And what we see is that anger gets us into trouble fast. And God tried to warn him. Look at verse 7. "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" What he's saying is, Cain, go back and get the right sacrifice. I'll wait. I'll be patient. And if you'll bring the right sacrifice, I'll accept it. But look what he says next in verse 7. "And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." And the reality is every day sin lieth at our heart's door, trying to get in and rule our lives. But unfortunately, Cain opened that door wide and sin entered. We see it in verse 8. "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." As long as things were going right, Cain was a nice guy to be around. But he was like so many that when things aren't going their way, they become destructive. Folks, Cain could have repented. He could have. But instead, he chose to get angry and kill his brother. So Cain holds the unique position in life of being the first child ever born on the earth. But then he marred that blessing by also becoming the first murderer. And that's what he's remembered for. But that's not what Abel is remembered for. Abel is remembered as a righteous man of faith who brought the right sacrifice, a bleeding sacrifice. And that sacrifice that Abel offered was innocent of sin. And that too is a picture of Christ. Christ is totally innocent of sin. But Christ shed his blood for us. He was the sacrifice for our sins. We've got to remember that it was not Jesus Christ who deserved to die on that cross that day. It was you and I. He was taking our place. He took upon himself all the penalty and all the punishment for sin that we deserved. And so the question is, have you come to him the right way? Not offering your works or your rituals or your money, but have you come to him accepting his sacrifice for your sins? So we've seen two different people, two different offerings, two different reactions. And my question for you this morning is, under which category do you fall? Which category? Trusting in yourself to get you into heaven like Cain, or trusting Christ and his work on the cross to get you into heaven like Abel? I hope you fall under that second category, because it's the only way. And Jesus in the New Testament makes that very, very clear. And so this morning, I'm going to end with words of Jesus himself. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed, let's pray. If you are watching by way of the internet this morning, or sitting in the church house this morning, and you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you've never called out to him before, you'd like to put your faith and trust in his shed blood and his wonderful work on the cross for you, then I'd like to help you with that. I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer, a word of receiving Christ as your Savior. And I would invite you to pray right along with me. Now, you got to keep in mind this, though, that becoming a Christian and having your sins forgiven is not just a matter of reciting a few words after the preacher. This is not some mystical, magical formula. You have to believe what you're praying. It's faith that makes all the difference. But if you'd like to pray along and receive Christ as your Savior, join me right now. Our Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I cannot pay for or earn your forgiveness. And I cannot pay for or earn a home in heaven. So I am trusting Jesus and him alone to provide me with those things. I believe he shed his blood and died on the cross for my sin. And I now receive him into my heart to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for coming into my heart and making me one of your children. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you, by way of the internet, prayed that prayer along with me this morning, would you do me a favor and let me know? And there's several ways you can do that. You could message me on my Facebook page, or you can email me. My email address is BRYPAMS, BryPams, at Juno, JUNO.com. Or give me a call, 401-568-4963, or you can write to me at Pasco Community Baptist Church, 111 Church Street, Pasco, Rhode Island, 02859. And if you'll contact me and give me a mailing address, I'd love to send to you a copy of our little booklet called Water for New Sprouts. It's just some help and some advice to get you started and your new walk with Christ. Now, we invite you to join us again next week on Facebook at this same time. We trust you'll be able to be with us. In the meantime, have a good week, and may God richly bless you.